Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Audiences have taken a renewed interest in audio plays in the last year, for obvious reasons. And while this format is a time-honored radio tradition, more recently, theater companies and festivals have taken to the medium to continue making work. The long-running Williamstown Theater Festival is one such institution. It's teamed up with Audible to premiere several new works, as well as a revival of play that made its world premiere at the festival back in 2015, written by MacArthur winner Dominique Morisseau. The play is called Paradise Blue and centers on a jazz club in the Black Bottom section of Detroit, confronting swift changes in the face of racist policies instituted by its new mayor, the real-life Albert Cobo. Let's take a listen to a clip from the production. This is Blair Underwood, who plays Blue.
Some folks downtown been coming around here to do some business.
Safe Eddie said he'd been coming around by the Echo Theater and Wilford's Billiard Parlor, too.
Coming around for what? What they coming around for?
Said they've been talking about that plan. This new mayor about to take office, Mayor Cobo, he done ran his campaign on it.
The one where they supposed to be clearing up the slums.
Getting rid of the blight in the city. That's what he say on the radio.
Blight? What's he mean by that?
He mean these rundown buildings over here on Hastings Street. That's what he mean. I don't blame him none. Some of these places are real eyesore, making all our spots look rundown.
The production, which is available now via Audible, is directed by Tony Award winner Ruben Santiago Hudson, who also directed the play's 2015 premiere. Welcome to the show, Ruben.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And it features an all-star cast that includes a voice familiar to WNYC listeners who heard him on our air last year in the audio version of Richard II. Andre Holland, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Allison. Nice to talk with you again.
So, Ruben, can you set the scene for our listeners? What was the neighborhood of Black Bottom like in the time of this play? What real-life changes was that area facing at the time?
Well, you know, at the time in the 40s, and actually even before that, Black communities thrived, particularly in cities where they had strong businesses and strong industrial ties, because everybody was making money. So it was segregation, so we had to make our own heaven on earth, as I would put it. So we had everything we needed in our communities, from beauty parlors to doctors' offices to pharmacists and cleaners, car dealerships. Black Bottom, Detroit was one of the hubs of the world, not just America, because of the auto industry. So there was a lot of money flowing, there was a lot of change happening, and people were migrating from the South there. So it was a thriving community. You know, and then when people are making money and doing pretty well, and even the poorer people coming up for opportunities start finding wherewithal to move up, and then they were spending money, and then they needed entertainment. So the clubs were really doing well, and the restaurants were at that time. You know, so Black Bottom was really an incredible place at that time.
So, Andre, what does your character get from playing at the Paradise Club that he's not able to experience elsewhere?
Oh, that's a great question. It's you know, like Ruben said, Black Bottom meant so much to so many. And I think for my character, P. Sam, he says very specifically in the play, he says, there ain't no place for a colored man outside of Black Bottom. He says it's the only place that he can be a percussion man before being colored. And so the club really means everything to him. It's a lifeline for him, and not just for him, but for so many other people in that community, which is why Sam does such a beautiful job of urging Blue and everyone else to remember that it's not just about him, but it's about community. And I love that part of the character, that he has that kind of vision.
And he wants to buy the club from Blue. When you thought about your motivation for your character, and P stands for percussion, by the way, for P. Sam, when you were thinking about creating this character, what is motivating him?
Well, I think he has a greater appetite for things than the world's given him access to. Mm-hmm. I think that he considers himself not only to be a top-notch musician, but he also wants to be a businessman, and he has the brights to do it. He just hasn't had an opportunity. So I think he sees this space. He understands, you know, what it means to him and to the community. And it also provides him an opportunity to test his hand at business and at making his own way in the world. So I think that's what's motivating him, to preserve the space that's meant so much to him, and then also to live up to every ounce of his own potential.
Steuben, because, of course, this revolves around jazz and music, and especially with this being an audio production, what kind of decisions did you have to make about the music in this new version of the play? What kind of opportunities did you see?
Well, the first decision I had to make was to include as much as possible, you know, and long as it was adding to the flow of the play and pushing the play forward. And in a way, the music is its own dialogue and play its own. They like to say character. Sometimes I don't like to use that word, but it does. The music does insinuate feeling and mood and joy, happiness and madness. And so I had to decide with Darren West, with his editing as one of the ones, the music director, and with the compositions of the amazing Kenny Rampton, who plays with the Wynton Marsalis Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, and Bill Sims Jr., the Grammy-nominated musician. They composed this, the landscape of music, to go underneath and give us the power and impact of the cultural, influence of that time. And so I just had to, with Darren, edit to make sure that we were inside the play and not outside the play with the music. And he did a great job along with Kenny and Bill.
Well, let's take a listen to a little bit of the music so our audience can understand what we're talking about. This is from Paradise Blue. My guests are director Ruben Santiago Hudson and actor Andre Holland. We're talking about Paradise Blue. The play is available via Audible. And Andre, as we said, you were in Richard II, the audio version of the Shakespeare play, directed by Sahim Ali, this co-production between the Public Theater and WNYC. So when you thought about your experience there, I mean, obviously that's Shakespeare, and this is something quite different. What was something you took from that experience that you were able to use this time around with Paradise Blue?
Well, I think that doing it in this medium makes us listen to the play in a different way. It makes us trust the words in a different way, and it changed my approach to the acting of it. You know, things that you can sort of take for granted. Obviously, by getting the feedback from a live audience, you can't. You have to really, really be specific about the way that you're using language. And I think in this play, you know, although it's not Shakespeare, in a way it sort of is. And that's one of the things about Dominique's writing that I love most, is that she, you know, has this way, you know, Black folks have this way of speaking, as we know, that's like at once like poetic and profound and rhythmic and by design difficult to capture. And yet Dominique manages to memorialize that sound and do it in a way where like each word is dripping with love, a deep love for Black people. And so, you know, the reverence with which I approach the Shakespeare is the same reverence with which I approach Dominique's language. I think there's a delicacy with which one has to work when working in this medium that actually, I think, benefits the play in some way.
Ruben, what were your biggest challenges conveying all of this action without the visual element?
Well, it wasn't so much challenges. It was just interpreting and managing this brilliant work in a different medium. You know, those were the challenges. When you have a cast as extraordinarily talented as this particular cast is, my job is more not easy. It's difficult because you want to be involved more, but the best thing I can do is kind of get out of their way and make sure that whatever support that they need, whatever influence or guidance they may need, that I'm accessible to them. It's not a whole lot you do with these are actors literally at the epitome of their careers at this point, and still to ascend higher. So my job is to make sure that they knew that they had a leader there that they could count on, depend on, and would support them in every way they could. And if they had any missteps or concerns, that I would be there to remedy them. And that was what I had to do.
Reuben, what part of the script you think lends itself particularly well to an audio production?
Well, first of all, it's Dominique. She's a wordsmith. She's a person that fully understands who she is, fully understands her community, fully understands the state of theater today, fully understands the risks and the challenges that we have and how to approach them. So what I want to always make sure of is that however I could be a strong, strong support and a good ear, a good listener to her concerns, you know, because there's always concerns, there's challenges, because you have to really deal with the reality that, you know, this whole theater scheme wasn't developed for us to hear us and see us fully and wholly with the integrity and the dignity that our forefathers gave us as Black people. Dominique is taking that mantle and saying, I am going to make sure that there's a place for all of that in this American theater landscape. And so that takes a lot of fortitude, a lot of courage, and she needs a lot of support. And everyone in this particular cast and all around her, including me, was there for that.
Andre, what was the rehearsal process like?
You know, because we've done the play before, we rehearsed for a couple of days, but it felt like the rehearsals felt more like a family reunion in a sense, because, you know, we had all been, you know, separated for so long, having done the play a few years ago. And then obviously by the pandemic, we've not seen each other. So it really was like a barbecue. You know, we read the scenes and laughed and cracked jokes and just had a wonderful time. And so then, you know, performing it just felt like an extension of that. And then also, just quickly, I just wanted to say too, in listening to what you just said, Reuben, I think one of the parts of the play that I heard even more beautifully than I did when we did it was, you know, in the center of this like play that's largely about these like men and this sort of hyper masculine, these guys yelling at each other and arguing about what they want and need, is this relationship between these two women played so beautifully by Kristen and Lloyd and Simone Missick, who are women who've come to this place from completely different perspectives, and yet throughout the course of the play managed to find a common ground and discover that they can help each other navigate this hyper-masculine environment. And in a way, I feel like this medium allowed us to get what feels like a close-up of the two of them, you know, in their scenes, which are so beautiful and so nuanced. And, you know, in a different setting could run the risk of getting lost. But I think for anybody who listens to the play, I would just say listen especially to the marvelous work that Crystalyn and Simone do holding that part of the play.
Yeah, when Silver comes on, she kind of just slides into your earphones, your earbuds when she enters.
Yeah.
Just does like a nice audio slide in there. So that's interesting. Reuben, what was something that the play, I mean, you've been intimate with this play for a long time, but what was something that revealed itself to you while working on this audio version?
Well, it's strange. It was more not exactly what was in the play. It was more about how important this sort of work is, this audio work, this detached in a sense work, but really attached, because we need as artists to express ourselves and share some of our feelings. What's going on in the world is a very critical, pivotal time in our society. And this sort of work, this sort of art gives us that outlet, gives us the opportunity to be what we are, what God put us here to be, messengers. And so that is more, it really raised the stakes for me. And because Williamstown, you know, invited us to do this at Williamstown Theater Festival, many Greenfield over there, it was like, wow, I mean, who could say no? I mean, to call Blair Underwood and Simone Missick and Keith Randolph Smith and Andre Holland and say, you know, we're getting the band back together. I mean, no one hesitated, because we all have the same human need right now as artists, as messengers, as poets, to have a voice in this festival, and Audible have given us that opportunity, and we took full advantage of it.
You can listen to Paradise Blue, the audio play, via Audible. I've been speaking with this director, Reuben Santiago Hudson, and Andre Holland. Gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, Andre, good to hear you. Good to hear you, Andre.
You too, my brother.
I can't wait to see you, man. I can't wait to see you.
All right, bro.